All right, welcome to the Briones Pickleball Podcast. My name is Jordan Briones, your host, and this is episode 002. And with me again, my co-host, Kaden Nemoff. Kaden, what's up, man?
What's up, everybody? How you doing, Jordan?
Doing pretty good. It's a good Tuesday. Nice Tuesday morning here. On today's episode, we will be giving you some pickleball tips.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to be talking about Desert Ridge. We'll be talking about the new paddles that we are seeing and talking about that kind of thing with the new paddles with all the pros. And just on the market in general, we'll be talking about Kaden's experience at the last PPA.
Oh, yeah.
At Desert Ridge. We'll be talking about the PPA results. And then we have a special segment at the end kind of talking about this era that we're in. So stay tuned for that. So let's get started here. As you know, this is a educational and instructional pickleball YouTube channel. So we will start off with a daily or weekly pickleball tip. The one that I had in mind, Kaden, was split stepping in transition.
Ooh, I love that. Yes, that is super important when playing pickleball.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, we saw we talked about last time, a call for a really aggressive split step. But actually, I rather use split step aggressively than not at all.
It's true. I see way too many people kind of just run through the transition zone. Yeah. So the split step is a necessary thing to be successful in that spot. Just because if you're not balanced, then what's the point, you know? So split stepping in the transition zone, hard or not hard, I would rather you get called for a hindrance on it than not be doing it at all. So if you guys don't know what a split step is, just look up James Ignatowicz.
Yeah, actually, so a lot of our listeners and viewers may or may not be new to the game. So what is a split step? Because I get that question all the time. And why is it super important for players to understand it and to do it?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is it lets you set your feet, get balanced, and focused on your shot, right? You see way too often where people kind of just run through the ball, right? Kind of never stop their feet and just hit the ball, focus on the next shot. It really allows you to stop and set and focus on that shot that's in front of you. And I will say, actually, as a baseball player, I do a version of a split step even as a baseball player when I'm fielding, whether it's a ground ball, right, or something like that. But when I went into pickleball, first starting out, I actually probably never used the split step because I thought it was just a completely different game.
Huh. So what did you do? Did you run through?
I would stop, but I wouldn't split step. I would kind of stop my feet and kind of be planted, but I would never actually stop my feet and set my feet into the split step.
Okay. So yeah, you're from baseball background. What's the difference between what's the difference between a baseball split step and a pickleball one, and also, like, you know, how do you do both?
I will say they're not too different. The only thing I will say is, like, the footwork into the split step for pickleball and baseball are slightly different. So in the split step in baseball, you would actually step forward with one foot and bring the other foot into your split step, right? So I would go to feel the ball and I would step forward with my left foot and then step forward with my right foot, and that would be my split step.
Okay, so it's like, stepping into it.
Right, whereas in pickleball, you're kind of moving, you're running, right? Yep. And then you kind of just separate your feet.
Yeah, kind of like if you could think about it, like hopscotch. You know how it's one foot, then two, wherever you are. Just like Kaden said, you want to be balanced and stable when you're hitting the ball. That's the most important thing. I think that's, that is a thing that a lot of people get wrong, and it puts them in a lot of trouble. So yeah, we just released a video actually today. Check out our YouTube channel, and that is one of the tips. Anything else you can say about good split step?
Nothing crazy. I would just say practice it, work on it, use it, because this game is getting faster. And if you are not ready for that ball and you are not balanced and in a good base for that ball, then you're putting yourself at a huge disadvantage.
All right. So that's really good. So that was the split step. Make sure you work on that. And we have a lot of videos that you can check out that talk specifically about that. That was my weekly pickleball tip. But actually, Caden is going to give one as well. And you know what? Leave a comment below on what you think about this segment. And if you have any other ideas, because we will be adjusting and adapting as a podcast for you viewers. We want to make it the best informational and educational podcast, pickleball podcast out there. So Caden has his weekly pickleball tip.
That's right.
And what would that be?
My weekly tip is going to be your backswing on your volleys.
What is a backswing?
Well, a backswing is from ready position, right? Typically, if I'm going to see this ball coming my way, what most people like to do is hit the ball hard, which is reasonable. I get it. I like it too. But in this case, right, I see a ball that's coming hard at me with pace, and my thought process is usually I'm going to hit this ball back harder, right? So I see this ball in front of me, and I take this huge swing where my paddle goes behind my body just so I can swing at this ball, right? So I would say personally, if you guys are taking big swings on your volleys, don't. Because even though you might be able to get away with it with your friends, once you start playing tournaments and once you start trying to get better, it's harder to break that bad habit of taking that big swing.
Yeah.
Right? I think as you play better players and their hands get better, you'll realize that the pace that they're giving you on their ball, you don't need to bring back more pace.
Yeah.
Right? You can keep your hands out in front and counter well with just by turning your body and getting your body in a good position and punching that ball back. Yeah. And I think a few guys who are great examples of that, AJ Kohler, Rob Cassidy. I try and do it, but
maybe J-Dub.
JW.
JW. Absolutely. Johnson, Dylan Frazier.
Yep. Dylan. I mean, Dylan actually is a great example of that too. Yeah. Guy has very sweet, short, compact swings when volleying, because if you notice when they play, they're not swinging out of their shoes, but that ball comes back so much quicker because people aren't expecting them to get to that ball so soon.
Yeah, so this is something that I teach, obviously, a lot of the players I work with, but just like Caden just said, using the pace of the incoming ball, and I think where you actually contact it, you know, at the right like time and the right spacing between you and your body is a big thing. If we're too far ahead of the ball, then we kind of lose power. We want it to come in a little bit. And that's why you'll see these players that we just talked about in the pro level, they counterattack, and their counterattacks are so fast because their timing is really good.
Right.
And about the backswing, we do see players at times take very large backswings though. Okay, so
very true.
So what are some situations where you would want to take a big backswing?
Where I would. Well, I can take a bigger backswing if that ball's floating a little bit more.
Okay.
Right? Which means not as much pace, not as much action, not as much spin. If I have a little bit more time to set up my backswing, go for it. But if someone is hitting a ball at you with pace that's going directly towards your face or your chest, you need to be sticking the paddle out in front of your body and countering and blocking or punching instead of trying to put this ball away.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And, you know, along with or on the flip side of the backswing, there's also the follow through.
Absolutely.
So you're talking about getting ready for the next ball. I like to say when it gets really fast, you want to keep your backswing short, but you also want to keep your follow through fairly short. And what I mean by that is after your contact, you know, you pushing through that ball, why is it important to keep your follow through after contact fairly short?
Right. You got to get yourself back to ready.
Yeah.
Right. You have to be able to recoil. Right. If you can't get yourself back to a ready position, then you're basically dooming yourself in that way too.
Yeah. So try to keep your strokes short and compact. backswing and a follow through. And yeah, when you get higher balls or you have more time, or I would say when your opponents are in transition or in the baseline, you can definitely take more swings because you're going to have more time for that ball to come back.
Exactly. All I can say is don't try and win the point too soon.
Okay. All right. That's a good tip there. All right. So now let's get to Desert Ridge PPA. We're going to talk a little bit about just the venue itself, how it went, and we'll get into the results later. But just initial thoughts, because Caden, you played in pro singles and doubles, pro doubles. You didn't play mixed this time, right?
I did not, no.
Okay, so yeah, what are your thoughts over this past weekend? Obviously, all the pros were there.
Yeah.
And we'll get to the results in a little bit, but just off the top, experiences there.
Experience. I thought it was a great tournament. I thought the PPA does a great job as usual. There's always, I will say, there's always some delay in terms of the PPA. It pisses a lot of people off. Personally, I'm a very patient person.
Oh, delay, so, delay in how? In what way?
Just bracket start times.
Oh.
I always find that, like, you know, they say you start at 10 and you probably end up starting at 11.
Oh.
Or like, it's funny, I was talking to this one lady who's from out here in Arizona, and I think she was playing like 3, 5, 60+. And she was like, I was like, oh, hey, you know, how are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm great. I'm playing today at 1:30. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. She's like, yeah, it's, pulls out her phone. It's 2:30. I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize that. Like, shoot, that sucks. I'm so sorry. So you've just been waiting? She's like, yeah, I don't know. It's just a common thing I find when I play the PPAs. And, you know, so, I mean, personally, like I said, I don't ever really mind, because you know what that means for me is I just get a little bit more warm-up time, a little more stretching time, maybe some time to put something small in my body just for some food and some energy. But you know what? There are people who like to be on time, and I get that. I think it's, you know, I think it's frustrating when you're told, like, hey, be here at this time, and you show up and they're not even on time.
Yeah, so for those tournament players out there, or you've played tournaments or are aspiring to play some tournaments, I think that is a big thing to kind of keep in mind. You got to show up early to warm up. But that is the hard part. Obviously, there's a lot of moving parts in tournaments. Things could get delayed. But how do you handle that when, again, people are in different, you know, walks in their life when they're playing pickleball? But how do you handle that when, you know, you're expected to play? How do you keep yourself warm? Or, like, do you just sit down and rest? What do you do?
I personally like to stay warm. I mean, I found that it's so easy to play a match, especially like in these tournaments where you could play your first match at the time that you're supposed to start, but then you wait an hour and a half for your second match.
Yeah.
I've had it happen to me. It sucks. It's honestly, it's not fun, but in that situation, you have to kind of give yourself a little bit of a break, right? But it's also tough because you don't know when you're going to get that text.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, I personally don't ever give myself a second to just relax and unwind, because when I'm in tournament mode, I am fiery and ready to go.
Yeah, so maybe every like 15 minutes or so you can go like just on a little walk, jog.
Yeah, I like to take walks.
Yeah,
keep my legs going.
That's good. That's a good,
but,
good tip there.
You know, stretch. Yeah. Stretch big time. Like I said, if I can get like a granola bar or you know, keep drinking water so I'm hydrated. It's little things like that can make things a little bit easier for that match that does end up coming.
Okay, yeah, so maybe, you know, when you're playing a tournament and even in between matches or before matches start, don't sit down for too long.
Yep.
Make sure, you know, make sure that you try to stay loose and, you know, kind of just go from there. But yeah, so anything else about, oh, you want to talk about the venue.
Oh.
So let's talk about the venue here at Desert Ridge. And it's in Phoenix.
It's in Phoenix. Near Scottsdale. It's basically Scottsdale.
Yeah.
I thought I had like a 15, 20-minute drive in front of me, and it was 35 minutes there and back. So hour and 10 minutes of driving. My favorite. But when I showed up to the venue, I'm not going to lie, JW is a little bit of a maze, but luckily the PPA put the correct address on there. So it did send you kind of right to the pickleball courts, which was great.
How many people were at this one? It was big, right?
1,200 people.
Oh, so
1,200 people playing, and I'm sure there was like 200 to 300 spectators.
Wow. How many courts were there?
I think there were 26.
Okay. Wow. That's actually not that much.
It's not. And I think, I want to say 17 of them were permanent.
Okay.
So I didn't actually have to play any matches on a temp net and taped lines this weekend, but there were... So
actually half were actually like around half.
Correct.
Were not.
Right.
Were on temp.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
So it was, I mean, there's not that many courts. And for 1,200 people, that's a big tournament.
Yeah.
You know, so I was kind of talking to the director of pickleball at Legacy, obviously Ryan Treffery. But it's so hard to run a pickleball tournament at a tennis facility, you know? Obviously, there's not enough pickleball facilities in the U.S. right now to just say, okay, well, let's find every pickleball facility in the U.S. and we'll just run our tournaments there. Yeah. But, like, everything was so crammed.
Mm.
Like, even the bleachers.
Yeah.
The bleachers were impossible.
Well, I've heard through a few sources that it's one of the worst spectator venues.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Like you can't, like, because they have windscreens or something like that, and you can't see through them. And then also, there's only select spots that you can actually see the championship court. And then besides that, if you don't have that space, then you're pretty much out of it.
Right. Well, so they had a big old bleacher on the side of the court. And that sat, I would guess, maybe like 70 people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's great. But like PPA probably sold like 150 to 200 like spectating seats. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you have, and these bleachers, they didn't even have a staircase for people to walk up. I'm watching 60 and 70 year old people like taking very careful steps in between people because they saw an open seat, but they're like stepping on the seats. And I was like, oh my God, I was like, someone's going to fall.
Yeah. A little dangerous there.
A little dangerous, right? And on top of that, parking. The parking was crazy expensive.
Oh, how much was it?
So they charged
$20 or something?
It was $10 for under 6 hours.
What was over 6 hours?
23.
Okay, that's a random number.
Right, super specific. Okay. But $23. So there was men's doubles day. I went men's doubles day. I was there at, I think I got there at 8:45.
Yeah.
I ended up leaving at like 3.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like in my mind, I was like, oh, my ticket will be like $10. Damn, but like whatever. Gotta do it. I like put my ticket in, it's like $23. I was like,
thank you, JW, huh?
It's like, wow, that's this week's lunch money.
Yeah.
Maybe this month's lunch money. I was like, holy smokes. Why am I spending $23 for parking right now? You know? And like, especially with me working at Legacy, I can't tell you how much crap I hear about, what's this $5 parking? Is this serious? Like $5 I have to pay for parking? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
well, you know,
they got to make it up somewhere.
Right. But it's like, I look at the $5 and I'm like, shoot, I'll pay that any day of the week. Come on, give me that $5.
Yep. So that's another thing. If you're playing tournaments, watch out for that. Get there early. Obviously, you know, there could be a lot of things that happen. So definitely want to watch for that. And besides the venue, those were the key things. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say it was still a good tournament. Obviously there's a ton of good pickleball, so I'm sure people at the end of the day really don't mind. But like for me, when I put it all together, I'm like, ouch.
Yeah.
My pocketbook.
Yeah. Well, definitely. And, here is, a random segue to paddles, though. We've seen a lot of new paddles come to the market over the past couple years. I heard I think this was a stat. Don't quote me on this, but Pickleball Studios Chris Olson, I think, told me. I think there was 500 new approved paddles just last year.
Are you serious?
Or something like that.
500?
Yeah, new. So not accounting all, just new approved paddles by the USAPA. So, and I think there's thousands or over, there's thousands of approved paddles. So there is a lot happening. The sport is exploding. But what we have seen recently is we have seen paddles used by the pros that are not yet on the market for everyone else. What do you think about that? And what have you seen out there this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, so there are going to be top pros in pickleball right now that have the advantage of kind of going to their paddle company and saying, hey, here's what I need, you know? And right now, players are actually kind of in power of that. And I think it's really cool, you know? But that being said, you see some paddles and you're like, holy crap, that thing is... it's got to be sick.
That thing is coming
off.
You
know what I mean?
It's coming off with spin, huh?
Spin, power, just the whole shebang. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. You know, like you play against someone who's got their own paddle and you're probably thinking like, shoot, like, have I already lost? I'm over here using this stock paddle that's probably already dead because I haven't gotten a new one yet. And this guy's probably got like 20 of these things in his bag just that, ready to go.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. I don't think people realize is these pros, I mean, I would say for the most part, they're playing with new paddles either every game or at least every event.
Right.
So something to keep in mind, but obviously they're at the tip top of the game and they need to have the best equipment. So one of the paddles that we can talk about is Ben John's new paddle that's not released in the market. Is it the Perseus?
Perseus. Yep.
Okay. And to me, it's really interesting because his signature Yola, it definitely is way different than that.
Yep.
And it looks just, the shape of it looks like very similar to a Carbon, a Legacy.
Right.
Or a Diadem, yeah. Warrior, that kind of shape now.
Right. Well, and so that shape, it honestly, like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, wow, he basically just recreated his Franklin and his Maverick from when he was with Engage and Franklin. Like, the shape is pretty much the exact same. Now, I mean, I haven't seen it up close. I don't know what millimeters it is. I don't know what it is or where it is or who it is or whatnot. But it is, yeah. I mean, what he's doing with that paddle... I mean, I will give Ben 95% of everything he's doing when he's playing, but that 5%,
yeah,
from his paddle is taking him to the promised land.
Yeah, no, that thing looks good. I mean, it's black. I mean, all carbon fiber paddles are pretty much black in the same color. But yeah, it looks like he's getting a lot of topspin. He's going for his serves a lot more. Yeah. That thing is coming off, and he seems pretty comfortable with that. Two triple crowns already this year. We'll get to the results again a little bit later. But another couple that we've seen with new paddles is Matt Wright and Lucy Kovalova. Yeah. So they've been using Onyx for a long time, and honestly, Onyx, we haven't seen anything come out. Well, I haven't seen anything come out recently,
right.
But finally... they got some carbon fiber. What have you heard about or seen?
Yeah,
Matt and Lucy's.
So I've seen a few different shapes in their new carbon fiber paddles. So I think they are releasing some pretty cool stuff coming up. But that being said, Matt and Lucy were both using kind of like the Premier shape, but in a new carbon fiber skin.
Okay.
I think that there's going to be multiple versions of like millimeters. So you can, you know, pick one that's a little bit poppier. You can pick one that has a little bit more control. I think they use the 12 millimeter because they want a little bit more pop.
I don't think does anyone make their paddles in 12? There's always 13, 14, and 16 is what I
Right. Heard. That's the most common. But yeah, I think they made a 12 millimeter, which is really cool because okay. I think these stock paddles, they kind of put you in a way kind of on a leash. You know what I mean? Because when you're buying a paddle or when you're picking a paddle that you like or you're trying something out and you're just trying to get the feel for it, there are going to be things that you like and there are going to be things that you don't like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The paddle I use right now, there's things that I love and there's things that I'm like, oh man, I wish my paddle had this. I wish my paddle had that. You know?
Yeah.
So I think what Onyx is doing is they're making options so people can say, oh, well, shoot, I can't put the ball away to save my life. And Onyx is there to say, well, here you go. Here's a 10 millimeter paddle.
Oh, well, right? That's pretty cool.
And then, you know, same thing goes for the people that want more control, right? Yeah. I cannot hit a dink to save my life. Well, here's something that's a little bit thicker.
Yeah.
Right? Give it a go.
Yeah. Speaking of paddles, what would you say to the viewers or listeners out there on how to pick one? Because I get this question all the time. And honestly, you know, it's out there. I'm with Selkirk, signed by Selkirk. I love their company and I love all their paddles. But one of the things that I tell players is you got to find something that you're comfortable with. And one of the reasons why I really love Selkirk is they have a wide variety of different kinds of paddles.
And shapes.
But just in your, you know, just from your experience, how do you go about picking something that you like? Like, what are some tips that you give somebody?
Yeah, I would say, well, like you said, it's a matter of what feels right, you know? Now that being said, it's not like what feels right in 1 hour. It's something you have to kind of find in kind of like 2 to 3 weeks, even a month to really find it.
Yep.
So if you guys are trying paddles, don't buy a paddle after using it for an hour. I promise you guys will regret it.
That's a bonus tip, and I think that's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, just because someone tells you it's a really good paddle, try it, use it. If it feels good, if it's something you're, you know, kind of using, but like this one's a little bit different, you know, you might be able to tell a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
Right? But like, you can't just say after an hour of playing with a paddle that's the one.
Yeah. And
you know?
Yeah, it's funny because I have a lot of clients that are players that I teach. Some people stick with the same paddle all the time. And then I don't know, I haven't came up with a phrase, but then there's paddle switchers.
Right.
I know some, you know, some players, and they must have some expendable money because they buy every paddle on the market. And I always see them with a new paddle each and every time. But, tell me what you think about this. The, you know, as for what kind of paddle to buy and use, I kind of think it does depend a little bit on kind of what kind of player you are.
Absolutely.
So for me, the strength and kind of what strengths you have in your game and what you kind of want to, you know, what you kind of want to be on the court. So for me, I really, you know, my game, resetting and defending is like super important. So,
right.
I love softer paddles.
Yeah.
So like the 003 I'm using and the Halo 16 millimeter, but that's just me. And obviously you lose power.
Right.
But then there's something like if you really, really like to hit the ball hard and you want to, there's something like the Power Air.
Yeah. Right.
What would you say about that? Just,
I think you're spot on. I mean, personally, right. Like you said, it also depends on the player, right? So when you are trying to pick a paddle, if you feel like you have good power, then maybe you want something that is a little bit more thick, right? Which means a little bit more control, right? If you have a little bit more control on your paddle and you can still provide the power, then that might be something you're looking for, right? Something that's 16 millimeters, something that's 18 millimeters, right? Just to give you a little bit more touch, a little bit more feel, a little bit more forgiveness, right? But for me personally, I've always felt very comfortable in controlling the ball and playing defense. Mm-hmm. So for me, I actually like something a little bit thinner, a little bit poppier.
Yeah.
So right now, out of the paddles that are on the market, I'm currently using the Selkirk Halo, right? They have a 13 millimeter and a 16 millimeter. Mm-hmm. I actually prefer the 13 millimeter.
Yeah.
Just to give me a little bit more pop on the ball, just have that ball, you know, counter a little bit better, a little bit more pop off my paddle. And like I said, it's preference, right? It's what you're looking for in a paddle. Now, could I tell you right now, oh, I wish my Selkirk Halo had this? Do I wish it had that? Yeah, but I wish it had more grit. That's it. I mean, as far as that goes, I really like a 13 millimeter paddle or a 14 millimeter paddle. I personally think 14 is like the perfect millimeter for
it. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Selkirk isn't going to come out with something in the 12 to 14 range for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's paddles. Let's talk about the experience, your experience, Kaden, at PPA. So you played men's pro.
Yeah.
And singles pro. I think singles was first, right?
Singles was first.
Yeah. So did you get in the qualifier or so how did that pan out?
Yeah. So I was in the qualifier. I was in the pro qualifier, which started actually on Wednesday.
Oh, so you did end up playing in it.
I did play. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, personally, I didn't know I was actually playing in the pro qualifier until Wednesday morning when I woke up for work, which is kind of crazy. But I got a text saying,
"Oh,
hey, just a reminder, you're playing today at 3 p.m.
So what happened? What happened? What was the?
Well, so I went to work and then I went straight there after work.
No, but why didn't? Because you weren't. Because when we looked it up, you weren't in the, you weren't on the list of the qualifiers or something, right?
Well, they only showed the main draw bracket. Okay. They showed everyone who had signed up for singles. That's why, like, or maybe that was just who was in the main draw. But when I didn't see my name in there, I was like.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
okay.
A little strange, but I ended up playing in it.
Okay, so for those of you that don't know what the qualifier is, this sport has exploded, obviously, especially, I mean, on the men's side, women's is catching up, but there's so many players now.
Too many.
Singles and doubles teams. So if you don't have enough points, I think that's how it goes by.
Right.
Or if you don't play enough tournaments, you have to show up the day before and play in a bracket where you're gonna have to win matches to get in the main draw. So
right.
They do this in a lot of other professional sports, like tennis and things like that. But in tennis, I know it's a weekend before or something like that. I think we will be headed towards that way. But right now, it's sometimes the morning of. But yeah, so how did that go?
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't great, I'll be honest. So I was a little bit confused just because I actually never saw an email saying that I was in the qualifier. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I must be in the main draw because I was in the main draw at the PPA Masters in January. So,
and that was the one you played Christian.
That was when I played Christian Alshon first round. Yes.
Got it.
Right. So I was like, okay, like I must be in the main draw. And of course, when I got that text in the morning, I was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah. So you went to work, then you showed up. Then who did?
And I showed up. So believe it or not, I showed up and at like 2 o'clock, right? You give yourself an hour to kind of warm up and get ready.
Yeah.
Now, I'm gonna be honest. I was working the last 3 days before that, so I really didn't really give myself any time to prepare for singles.
Yeah.
And my first round of the qualifier, I got a bye, and then my second round, I played a guy named Biggie Markowitz.
Oh, he's
Elliot Markowitz.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Dude's a stud. A stud. I mean, but like for some reason, he was in the main draw as well at the PPA Masters.
Okay, yeah.
And then in the qualifier, he's the 20 seed.
Hmm.
So I'm looking at that and I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like this makes no freaking sense. But you know what? All right, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try and ball out if I can.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest, I went out there and the wind started to blow a little bit and I sucked. Personally, that's just me. I'm tough on myself, really tough on myself, but I felt terrible out there.
Yeah.
Right? So I lost that one. I don't even know the score. I think it was like 6-4.
Okay. And Biggie, what is it? Is that his nickname, Biggie?
Biggie, yeah. I mean, he's a pretty big dude, so
yeah, he's a
makes sense.
Gotta be a tennis player. He must have some college tennis in him.
Yeah.
What did you do? Any takeaways from that match? Just you know, so it was super windy. You know, obviously some days you feel good, some days you don't feel good, but
right,
like, any strategic things maybe now that looking back?
I would say personally in the moment I didn't pay enough attention to the wind. Now, that being said, when I play at Legacy, we have wind socks all over the place, so I can kind of see where the wind is blowing.
Yeah.
They had a flag up, but you can't really tell
yeah.
when it's just a flag because you just see the flag moving. You don't really know which direction it's going.
Yeah.
So for me, I like either when I was on one side and then when I was on the other side, I couldn't really tell where the wind was blowing at all. So I kind of just said, all right, well, let's kind of figure it out as I go.
Yeah.
And then of course some shots I'd hit, I felt like I would hit pretty well and it would carry long.
Yeah.
Right. And then there were some shots where I would hit a little bit shorter and it would die.
So when you, for the listeners and viewers out there, when you do know where the wind's coming from, how, what are some things that you can think about how to adjust? Cause obviously we're talking about singles here, but this goes hand in hand with doubles. Like, you know, what side should you serve from, against the wind, with the wind? What do you usually do?
Well, so for me personally, I like to play into the wind.
Into the wind.
Which means the wind's in my face.
Got it.
Okay. Just because from there, I don't really feel like I have to hold back on my shots.
Yeah,
I can kind of just swing straight into it. And, you know, even every now and then you get a little bit lucky with like maybe hitting a slightly higher ball and your opponents are like, oh, that's a long gun. And then the wind's just like, you thought? Really?
Yeah, okay.
You know, so I prefer to play into the wind. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, it's preference, right? Like if you feel like you can get away with kind of, I don't want to say half swinging, but hitting your ball at like 50, 60% and letting the wind do the rest of the work.
Mm, yeah.
That might be you.
You might want to go with the wind, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well,
so
that's the other thing about serving. Like if you have a big serve,
right.
Serving in the wind could help potentially.
Right. Yeah. It could also, I mean, depending on how big that wind is, it could also kill you, right? Yeah. But what do you think? Like, is, because I don't even really have that much experience with playing in wind, you know?
Yeah. So I would say if I were to win the toss and then I would choose, I would probably go with the wind.
Yeah.
I guess it depends. Again, just on the serve and things like right. that. And then I'm actually pretty comfortable with hitting like slower balls.
Okay.
I use like a lot of angles and we're talking about right. singles here, but so just for me, just being comfortable hitting rolls and kind of those kinds of things, I probably would go with that.
Yeah. Right. No, it's valid.
Yeah.
I think like when you're with the wind, you don't have to do as much with the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and I play with a 16 mil.
Yeah. Right. So, sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm more controlled.
Right.
I use a lot of angles. So I think that,
what paddle are you using right now?
I'm actually going back and forth between the 003 Invicta and the Halo 16 millimeter. So, one thing that we didn't talk about is lead tape. Maybe we'll talk about that on a future episode, but obviously adding some tape stabilizes the paddle and things like that.
Yep. I use it. I love it.
Yeah, so you played Big E, and then what happened after that?
So I played Big E, lost that match, and then I was kind of just like sitting there going, okay, well, when's my next match? And then someone came up to me and was like, oh, so who are you playing next? And I was like, oh, I don't know, I'm just waiting. And they were like, oh, did you win your first one? I was like, no. They were like, oh, well, then you're not playing for the rest of the day. And I was like, what?
So was it, oh, it's a one.
So if you lost a match, you're done. You're done for that day. But then they continued.
They continued, yes.
They continued the pro qualifier.
Got it.
Thursday morning at 7 a.m.
Got it. So did you play in that one?
Yeah.
So, okay, how did that go?
That was even more rough.
Oh, more rough. Okay, we got some juicy details here.
Yeah, well, so I, my God. Personally, I don't do well with early mornings, just in general. But that being said, I was up at 4:45 to kind of mentally prepare myself, take my cold shower, get some food in my body, and be at the venue at like 6:00.
Yeah.
It was rough. It was really rough.
So who'd you end up playing?
I played Ryan Finley, local guy here in Arizona.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm going to be honest. The guy is probably the most athletic creature I've ever met in my life.
Really?
Do you Ryan. Not know Ryan?
No.
So, okay. So, Ryan Finley, he is, a local guy in here.
A tennis player?
No.
Oh.
The guy played professional football. Oh. He was at the backup quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals like 3 or 4 years ago. But this guy was like a multi-sport athlete, like went to college and could have played basketball or football.
Really? Shout out to Ryan. We'll have you on the podcast.
Dude's a baller.
Okay, so did you lose that one?
Hell yeah. I was terrible. I was like, I don't know what happened. It's tough, right? Because like when I play singles, I like to be fiery. But when it's that early in the morning and it's that cold, like I just get kind of stiff.
Got to get out there earlier,
you know?
Man.
And oh my God. Well, and the ball is a freaking rock out there.
Yeah. So let's talk about just the balls in general. I heard, I was talking to somebody and they said in their first, while they're warming up, they break two balls.
Yep.
During warm up.
Yep.
And warm up is 5 minutes. So obviously, Arizona, it's nice here. Today's going to be probably 73, but in the mornings it's cold.
Yeah.
And with that Duras don't do well in the cold.
No.
They like warmer temperatures more near the equator and things like that.
Yeah. No, when Ryan and I were playing, we had two balls in the basket. We played one game to 15.
Oh, it was.
And we broke both balls in that match. Yeah. Ryan pulled a ball out of his bag. So we could finish our match.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right. So
it was rough.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then you also played men's doubles.
Correct.
So you play with Craig Johnson.
Play with Craig Johnson.
So, any thoughts? I don't know what you know, how did that go? And just quickly, like some things that you maybe took away from that and what you can work on.
Yeah. So we made it into the main bracket on that one. So that was pretty nice, not having to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning again.
Yeah.
But that being said, we actually faced Connor Garnett in Westboro's first round, which was one of the teams that I picked as like kind of my sleepers for this tournament.
Yeah.
Now, they beat us first round, and then unfortunately got Dylan and J Dub, but in that match, I would say I felt really comfortable in that match. The one thing that I personally struggled with that I usually don't struggle with is my speed ups. Anytime I got kind of like a high dink that I was looking to speed up either to space or to jam somebody uncomfortable, I was clipping the tape and I never do that. I don't know. I always feel like on my rolls, especially when I play, I always give myself kind of like enough margin where people are starting to question whether the ball's out or in, and then they either swing for it and do something dumb or they let it go and it drops in.
Yeah.
Right? I hit...
So you were just clipping the net that game?
Yeah. Well, the match. I hit four speed ups. I hit four speed ups in the match, in the two games. Three of them went into the tape. One of them clipped the tape and popped up for Connor Garnett's backhand, which is easily...
Which is perfect.
Yeah, it was so ideal, you know? Like the tape didn't have enough of me, you know? But I will say, besides that, I felt really good out there. I will say my partner, Craig, the guy is an absolute stud. I think he was a little nervous this last weekend. But nerves are interesting when it comes to pickleball. If you guys find that you're getting nervous before a pickleball tournament or like before your match, don't let it eat you up.
Yeah.
That's
the hard part, especially with people who haven't been competing. And I know, you know, you're going into, and I'm not talking about Craig, but I'm talking about, you know, just in general, it's something that you get over and you got to work through. And we'll probably talk more about mental kind of like battles and tournament, you know, mindsets and things like that in a future episode. But just in general, I think that just playing more tournaments helps with that.
100%.
And learning as much as you can to zone in and kind of, you know, keep distractions out.
Yeah, right. Well, nerves can take you one place or the other, you know? So if you guys find that you're nervous, feel free to make mistakes in that first game.
There you know?
Especially if you're still in the winner's bracket, right? Like your first match of the day, like, that's the time to get all the silly stuff and the dumb stuff out of your system.
Yeah.
You know, because guess what? You still have a second game.
Yeah.
Right. But if you don't trust it, it's going to carry into the next game and the next game after that.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
But yeah, like I love playing with Craig. I love the guy that he is just as a person. I had a blast playing with him, even though we didn't do as well as I would have liked to. But we lost the first one, 11-4 or 5. Mm-hmm. Could be either or. But the second game, we were actually up 9-8 against Wes and Connor. Now, the first time I ever played Connor, I played him in Sacramento, the APP Sacramento last year.
Yeah.
And I was playing with Brandon French. He was playing with Derek Scherer.
Yeah.
And anytime Brandon hit a backhand dink to Connor, the guy was speeding up everything. I mean, and he could speed up down the line. He could speed up at my left shoulder for my backhand. He could speed up at Brandon's right shoulder. Yeah. He could speed up at Brandon's left shoulder. I mean, he was firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, so Connor Garnett, we're going to have him on the podcast soon, but he's one of a top singles player right now. And just to give you a little background. But,
right. But this time, I was all over him.
You were over him.
I was all over him. There were, I would say, maybe 3 speed ups where he tried it at me and I was just sitting on it, and I would put it right on the line, and he would try and call it out for like a quick second, and I'd be like, no. And he'd be like, no, that was good. You know?
Connor's a nice guy.
Connor's a great guy. Yeah, no. But, I think he was hoping it was going out. And luckily, I mean, I kind of just painted the line a few times.
I think we all hope for the ball to go out at times, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I think we all hope that sometimes the ball goes in too. But I felt pretty good against playing Wes and Connor.
Yeah, so you guys were up.
We were up 9-8.
And then you guys lost.
We lost 11-9 in the second game.
So those kinds of situations happen to everybody.
Yep.
What do you think you can take away, or when you're in that position again, just closing out the game? And again, this happens to the best of the best players, by the way.
Yep.
You know, amateur level, 3035, 4045, and at the top pro level. I mean, the Johns, Matt Wright, Riley Newman. We've seen this happen where there's swings. So what kind of mindset do you have to try to close out a game when you're up?
Yeah, I think it's very easy to kind of play a team, especially at the pro level. You kind of know who everyone is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's easy to kind of get into your head like, oh, we have a chance, you know? And as soon as you start to think like, okay, I just have to score one more point, that's where you get yourself in trouble. So for me personally, I always keep a 0-0 mindset. Doesn't matter what the score is 0-0, I still have to score 11 points. Because you know what? I mean, even in practice, right? I remember when I was a kid and I was practicing with you, anytime I had any sort of lead, the first thing that came to my mind was, oh my God, I'm beating Jordan right now. What do I do? Oh my God. You know? And of course, guess what? I probably sucked after that. And I probably didn't score another point after that. You know what I mean? But like, one thing that I actually learned from playing club baseball in high school was that no matter how big your lead is, you play until the end of the seventh inning or the ninth inning, right? You don't worry about what the score is, right? It doesn't matter if the score is 6-1, 2-1, 4-1. It's 0-0.
Yeah.
And you play like it's 0-0.
That's great advice. Great advice. So that was your experience. That's good. We'll be following Caden and his pro journey on the PPA and APP. I think going forward, maybe we film a few of your matches.
Yeah, let's do it.
And then we can break some down. I think that'd be really good, singles and doubles. So now let's just quickly get into the results of the Desert Ridge PPA. Let's talk about the winners here, and we'll just talk about some sleepers and, you know, some upset alerts and things like that. But let's get right to that right now. All right, so PPA Desert Ridge. We'll start with women's pro doubles. We got Catherine Bronto, Annalie Waters Gold, Leah Jansen, Elise Jones Silver, Anna Bright, and Vivian David Bronze. And yeah, I think the big, you know, the big one here is Leah and Elise taking silver. What did you think about that team? And yeah.
Definitely a surprise for me. Personally, I mean, Elise played with Megan Shahandazan all of last year.
Yeah.
And they always had good runs, but they would always fall kind of like just short.
Yeah.
So Elise and Leia was actually, I mean, they worked well. They worked really, really well. And they actually, well, they took game one in the championship Sunday. It was game two, right?
Yeah.
So they took game two, and after game two, I was like, oh, it's like, wow, Elise is not only playing really well, but they might actually, you know.
No, they definitely had a chance, and, you know, Elise, she's a baller. I saw one of the highlights. She dove for a ball.
Yep. Signature dive.
She just doesn't quit and
puts her body on the line, pretends like she's sliding into second base. You know, she's a school teacher. That is so cool.
Like currently?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Shout out to Elise. Love to have you on the pod at some point, but that is...
She's a family mom.
Yep.
Full-time teacher. I mean, she is a baller.
Pro pickleball and silver medalist at a pro PPA Desert Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive. Upset alert here. We got in the first, I guess, technically second round, Lucy Kovalova and Callie Smith. They are, look at that. Look at their seeding is one.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that. But second round, they face Bobby Oshiro and Sarah Ansbury. And the score is 11-7, 4-11, 11-8. Going Ansbury and Oshiro's way.
Yeah.
And that was probably the biggest upset, I would say, maybe of the tournament.
And how about in PPA Tour history?
Maybe in PPA Tour history, but yeah. Sarah Ansbury, I've known her a long time. She's a legend in the game, you can call it, because she's been playing, I don't know, she's definitely been playing longer than me. She's
probably, what, 8 years?
She might be close to a decade. Don't quote me on that, but anyways, she's been around a long time. She honestly has not been around the pro scene in any high level pro matches.
I don't know
whether she's hasn't found the right partner, but I have not seen her name in a while, but this was a huge win for them. So I know Sarah, what can you tell me about Bobby Oshiro?
Yeah. So Bobby, she lives in Florida currently. She's Hawaiian. She's from Hawaii. But she lives and trains kind of with the Johnson crew.
Oh, she does.
But she's super sweet girl.
She have a tennis background?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes. Right. Now, obviously her name's Bobby Oshiro. I actually call her Babu, which is a Star Wars character, Babu Frick. But she's super sweet. She's a very beautiful pickleball player to watch on the court.
So what's her, what is her strengths that you would say out there? Because I watched a little bit of it, but on your assessment, what makes Bobby so good? Because she's on the shorter side.
Yeah, she's not super big. She's not, you know, you don't look at her and go, holy crap, that's a unit right there. You know what I mean? But she is super steady, super consistent.
Yeah, she has good defense too.
Great defense, great resets. I mean, when you look at the women's pro tour, a lot of them have great hands and great resets.
Yeah.
You know, but Bobby is one of those players when you watch her, you're just like, holy crap, like she is so smooth. She's so smooth. Like, you know, like I when I watched her play this weekend, every time, like everyone that was watching was just like, wow, she's a great pickleball player,
I'll definitely have to watch more of her. And honestly, I think with this kind of showing, she's definitely going to get some calls and emails.
Yeah.
But that's a really good showing. And then they actually went to round three and played Andrea Coop and Georgia Johnson.
Yeah.
Which is a great team. And then they end up winning 11-9 in the third.
Yeah.
So that's another battle. Another huge, I would still call it upset. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah.
Shiro and Ansbury, 17.
Yeah.
You know, then they end up, playing Leia and Elise.
And yeah. They won game one.
Losing.
And then they kind of fell back to planet Earth. I'm not going to lie. They lost 0-3 in the second and third game. But, I mean, that's a great tournament.
No, great showing. So they got fourth, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So no surprises there besides that. Catherine and Annalie got, they got the gold. And then, they're the ones that actually beat Anna, Brian, and Vivian David. So,
yeah.
So, and that one, it didn't seem, it wasn't close, 3-4. I haven't seen that. But you know what? Anna, Brian, Vivian, David, I think, is this their first time partnering, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that has a lot to do with it. But I am going to keep betting on them. They're going to get better and better.
I think it's tough too, right? I mean, personally, I think they put the two best teams on the same side of the bracket.
Yeah.
You know, I think we both thought Catherine and Annalie and and Anna and Vivian were going to be playing for Championship Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, I genuinely thought that would be the matchup, and it just kind of sucks that they played each other in the quarters.
Well, we're going to talk about that. That happens all the time. And, and with people switching partners, they're either going to have to do it depending on their duper score or ranking. So it's going to be really tough. But let's hop right into women's open pro singles PPA Desert Ridge, and we got Annalie, surprise surprise,
holy smokes, Annalie won gold
for gold, Catherine Bronto silver, and Leia Jansen for bronze. And I think I nailed this.
I think you did.
I nailed, so from last time I think I nailed men's singles and women's singles. I was a little off on the other ones, but let's take a look at this. Let's see, did you have any, all right, one of your sleepers was Mary.
Yeah.
Mary Brock, she did play. Okay.
And I'm going to be honest, I did not expect her to lose first round to Lena. But you know what? It's pickleball.
Yeah.
Crazy things happen.
Lena is, she played professional tennis. She's that one, right?
She's really good.
Okay. But she's a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
She's in her 30s.
Okay. So Lena beat her. Yeah, and then I think just as what we expected, let's see the final score. Annalie, 11-3, 4-11, 11-6. That's kind of how it's been against Catherine playing her.
Right.
I think maybe there's one that she got pushed to, really, really close. But, you know, Annalie just playing really, really well. Good passing shots, anticipation.
Yeah. Well, Annalie has only lost one singles tournament in the last like 2 years.
And that was against Paris Todd, right?
In San Clemente. But besides that, she has been absolutely dominant.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that coming up. But again, Annalie just done really well. And you know what? Leave a comment below if you'd like us to actually analyze some of these pro matches, singles, doubles, or mixed.
Yeah.
Leave a comment below, because me and Kaden, we will do that for you.
Yeah.
So that was that. I think Leia played great as well.
Right.
And 11-5 against Annalie. See?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good showing for Leia. And now let's get to men's doubles pro.
Oh, can I guess who won?
Oh, you know what? Go ahead. You go. You guess.
I'm going to guess that Ben Johns and Colin Johns won. Am I right?
Kaden.
Oh!
Let's give it up for Kaden. Let's give it up. He guessed right. We got Ben, Colin, John's gold, Matt, Wright, and Riley, silver. So I got those two right. JW and Dylan for the bronze. I actually said Federico and Pablo.
That's fair.
But so what we've seen from this is what we have continued and what we have been seeing for the past whole last year.
Right.
You know, obviously, I think it would be nice to break down some of their matches, but we saw the Johns go in middle.
Yep.
A lot, you know, with Matt on the even side, Riley on the odd side. you know, middle is the path of least resistance there. We saw the Johns, you know, they go there quite often and they'll pull it wide when they can.
Yeah.
I actually think, yeah, I'm pretty sure because I watched a good portion of that match. They switched the last game.
They did.
They did. And they actually had success there.
Yeah.
Here we go. We got the final score was 11-3, 12-10.
11-18?
11-18. That's definitely wrong. 11-8. I think it's
11-8. Good. Okay.
Okay. But they won in three. So singles is 2 out of 3 games. Right. Doubles is 3 out of 5.
Right.
And the Johns beat them, you know, if you're talking about game score, pretty handily this time.
Right.
But I think that this obviously is a big rivalry and we've already seen it last year. It's going to be really tough for someone to break into that gold and silver. But we'll see. What are your thoughts on just that matchup? Because it happens quite often. And, you know, it'd be really interesting to see if Riley takes that right side. What are your thoughts?
I mean, personally, I think it's tough, right? I think Riley is a little bit more of the dominant player when it comes to, you know, the partnership between him and Matt. But that being said, I mean, I am a big believer in kind of playing things out to how they arise. You know what I mean? So if you are planning to stack with someone, that doesn't ultimately mean it's going to work. You know what I mean? And personally, I mean, Matt and Riley play Ben and Colin so often that if you continue to give them the same look, these guys are making adjustments. You know what I mean? And that's what makes Ben and Colin... Yeah. The best team in the world, you know, is they're not losing a match to Matt and Riley and then going, oh, shoot, that sucked. Well, better luck next time.
Yeah.
I guarantee you they're watching that match and kind of focusing on the things that they did right and the things that went wrong.
Yeah. If you're Ben Johns, Colin, one thing that I do know, they're very, very cerebral when it comes to strategy.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're the number one team in the world, so they study a lot of film, and that's what I would suggest to the listeners out there. I do this with a lot of my students. I do some filming,
yeah,
so they could see themselves on the court.
Right.
And usually, it's a facepalm. Like, oh, no.
Oh,
but,
shoot.
But it really does reveal what you do on the court, and it shows you what you think you do on the court and things like that. But analyzing matches is super important for your game. And you can see the top players, they'll watch and they'll adjust.
Yeah. One, not even just match play, but it doesn't hurt to analyze your technique as well.
Yep.
You know? But I mean, from what it looks like, I mean, personally, I think if Dylan and JW don't play Ben and Colin in the quarters, but instead play Matt and Riley, I think it could be a very different championship Sunday.
Yeah, you're right. So in the semis, Dylan Fraser and J.W. Johnson played the Johns. Obviously, they lost 4-7.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, honestly, the matchup, if we had J.W. And Dylan play Matt and Riley, I think that could go either way.
Right.
Look at Stack, Shrewd, and Tellez. Hey.
Yeah. Okay. And they made some noise.
They made some noise there. There's so many good players here.
There's a lot of good teams. You know.
Yep. So now let's hop quickly to Mixed Doubles Pro, PPA Desert Ridge. Excuse me. And yeah, so we got gold, Anna Lee Waters, Ben Johns, surprise there.
Yep.
Actually, the real surprise, well, for me, and I will not sleep on them again, but Lucy Kovalova and Matt Wright.
Right.
I don't think a lot of people thought they were going to get silver. I mean, and then we got Anna Bright and Riley with the bronze.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that, or did you see any of those matches?
Yeah. So personally, I think Riley and Anna are both pretty disappointed in getting bronze because I think that's a really good team.
Well, I'll tell you what. Riley is disappointed every time he doesn't get gold.
This is also true.
Okay.
I mean, when I train with Riley, when I even beat him in a point, he's pissed off. So,
yes.
I mean, I love that competitive spirit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It makes things intense and real.
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite. He's one of my favorite people to drill with because, to be honest, there's no points that go, like, there's no lackadaisical points, right. Zero.
No.
And when I win in points on him, I feel really, really great. But he's coming for the next 5 or 10.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So Riley's just another. That's just, you know, if talking about competitiveness, he's just a beast.
Yeah. Oh no. When I play pickleball, I tell people, oh, I'm just going to play pickleball today. When I go play with Riley, I tell people I'm going to train pickleball today because it is.
You should probably train before you meet him.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, but I mean, it's true. I mean, the guy takes no points off. It's not like a whoop, you know, la-di-da-di-da type of training session with Riley or even playing with Riley. It's intense and it's fun and it makes you a better pickleball player. You know, it really makes you dive in and focus on what you're doing.
Yeah. No, that's,
you know?
Yep. That's what keeps Riley at the top of his game. Let's look at the semis here. So in this tournament, let's talk about the different format or kind of how they do the results. So now in the new PPA, I don't know if it's like I'm guessing it's like this for every PPA, but in pickleball for years and years ago, for probably the past 2, 3, 4 decades, they've had a back draw and double dipping and things like that. If you don't know what that is, you can still lose and come back and then win gold if you know, go all the way and come back through the back draw. Now we have some changes here. The PPA, the final four, once you get to the final four, so we got semifinals, right? We got two teams on one side, two teams on the other. The winners of those teams will play for gold, and then the losers of those teams will play for bronze.
Yep. You know who started that?
Who started that?
U.S. Open.
Huh?
In Naples. Yeah. That's how they did it. It was a championship style format where once you lose, you can't go back into gold. And now everyone's kind of adapting to it.
Well, you know what? To be totally honest, my opinion, it's very, very good for the game.
Yeah.
These days are so long. There's no time for back draw.
Exactly.
Double dipping. You win or you go home. I think I like that.
It's heartbreaking, honestly, but it's great. You know, I think you start at 9, you start at 10. And you're done at 3 if you continue to win.
Well, if you're
you know what I mean? I think it's really cool. And so you're kind of refreshed for Championship Sunday.
Yeah, so let's take a look at some of these. You know, so semis was Anna Lee and Ben Johns versus Jesse Irvin and AJ Kohler.
Yeah.
Okay, shout out to them.
I honestly thought Jesse and AJ would do a little bit better against Anna Lee and Ben, but I mean, you got the number one women's player and the number one men's player on the same team. It's going to be pretty tough.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, you know, to analyze some of their games. But that was the top half. Now let's get to the bottom, Lucy and Kovalova. And Lucy Kovalova, Matt Wright against Anna Bright and Riley Newman. And
really good match. It was tight the whole way.
I didn't know it was this tight. But yeah. Kovalova, Wright came out on top, 10-12. 13-11, 11-9. So honestly, Anna Bright and Riley were right there. They were right there, and they could easily went to the gold medal match against Johns and Waters.
No, exactly. I mean, I watched the first game. They were down 7-10 in the first game, and they came back and beat them 12-10. And in my mind, you know what I said? That's a wrap, folks.
Yeah.
You know, and Matt and Lucy showed up. They showed up and they played ball and they, I mean, showed why they deserved to be in the gold medal match, you know? And I mean, they've been doing this for 5, 6 years now. I mean, they have been a top team in pickleball for a long time and they continue to do it. And like,
and they're one of the only, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong or right. They are the only top couple pro, I believe.
I think you're right. Yeah.
That play together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is actually commendable. I don't know how the heck they do it, but they do it and they do it well, you know? And like, honestly, like you ask me to play with my dad or play with my sister and I am losing my mind on the court.
Yeah. Can't do it. Can't do it.
Nope. There's just too much feeling. So the fact that they do it, good on them, you know?
Yeah. That's, that's really awesome. So they won 11-9 in the last game against Anna Bright Riley. One of the things that I saw, and I don't know how much of the match that you watched, but Lucy Kovalova is so comfortable dinking cross court.
Yeah.
And she just keeps the ball down.
Mm-hmm.
Her footwork's really good. It's really interesting. Sometimes she hits with slice. Sometimes she hits with topspin.
Right.
I would like to, you know, kind of see her at the line a little bit more rolling, but she just, I mean, she expends a lot of energy, but she just keeps the ball down, long rallies.
Yeah.
And I think I just saw Anna just speed up a little bit, maybe too early.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of attacking with Matt right in front of her. So
right.
Maybe just be a little more disciplined there for Anna. But
right.
What did you take away anything?
Well, one thing I will say is Lucy is really good at actually taking those balls at the kitchen line in the air when she needs to.
Yeah.
Because like you said, when she lets it bounce, she kind of does a little bit more of a slice.
Mm-hmm.
But when she can kind of lean in and take it in the air a little bit more, I tell my students this all the time. You're the most offensive when you can take a ball in the air.
Yep.
Right? And Lucy is lengthy and long enough
yeah.
to the point where she can take this ball
and roll it
and kind of do whatever she wants with it. Right? So she can dink that ball cross court 100 times in a row, and she could speed that ball up at the guy or the girl or the middle or the sideline or whatever she wants whenever she wants. You know? And I think that had a lot to do with what they did this weekend.
Yeah. I think for sure, but it is scary to see Anna Bright Riley Newman first tournament ever though. So that's the thing, obviously,
yeah.
that is going to get solved.
And oh, 100%.
They are going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Oh, no question.
I would bet some money that they are going to be challenging Anna Lee and Ben in the future. So,
right. I am not worried about Anna and Riley whatsoever. I think they're going to figure it out in the next tournament or two. And once they do, they'll be rolling along for sure.
Yeah. So that was the recap and the results of the PPA Desert Ridge. Obviously, two Triple Crown winners. And let's talk about the era of the Triple Crowns.
Yep.
So Ben Johns, Anna Lee Waters, singles, mixed doubles and gender doubles, women's and men's doubles, they continue to prove why they are ahead of the pack.
Yeah.
And last year, I have to pull up the stats, but a lot of Triple Crowns. Anna Lee got a little bit more than Ben. But I would say Anna Lee is definitely, you know, definitely more ahead of the pack in women's than Ben is in men's.
Yep.
I think it's a little bit, the gap is a little bit smaller there.
Right.
But so era of the Triple Crown though, what are your thoughts of how long this can keep, you know, how long can this realistically, how long can it keep going for, let's talk about Anna Lee first and then let's talk about Ben. But so let's talk about though singles and doubles.
Like, yeah.
And mix. How long do you think this could keep going for Anna Lee?
Here's the thing. Anna Lee just turned 16.
Oh gosh.
Isn't that, I mean, that's crazy to think about.
It is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I played with this girl in my first ever mixed tournament and she was 11 years old and she was a baller then.
At the Golden State Pickleball Championships?
That would be correct.
4-5?
I think so.
And that, I believe, Jordan Briones and Katrina ran that tournament.
That would be correct.
Yeah, that was back in the day. But yeah, so I remember, yeah, you guys played and yeah, go ahead.
We smoked everyone. Like I said, she was 11 years old. She was probably
she was 11.
Yeah, she was, I think she was like 4'9".
Yeah, so you guys, so this is 4 years ago? That would be
2018. Yeah.
Anyways, you played with Anna Lee 4-5 tournament. I think she just started probably not too long ago.
She just started. It was actually crazy because we went to US Open that year in 2018.
Okay.
And I remember when I found you, you were like, dude, you gotta check out this mom and daughter duo.
Did I hook you up with her?
Yeah, because you played with Lee.
No, I didn't.
No?
I played against her.
Oh, you played against her. Dang.
So fun fact. Shout out to Kara Williams, me and Kara Williams. She's a number one senior player right now.
Let's go.
Anyways, I played, we played at the US Open, Lee, and I forgot what the other guy's name is, but they beat us. I think it was pretty close one against Lee Waters. That's when I first met the Waters. And then when we had our tournament, I remember now, I did introduce you because you were looking for a mixed partner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I am a matchmaker. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but Anna Lee, so you played with Anna Lee Waters at our tournament.
Yeah.
And you guys smoked everybody.
We crushed everybody.
She was 11 years old.
She was 11 years old, 4'9", and smacking the ball harder than I was. And I will never forget. I think like it was the gold medal match, third point in, like.
What happened?
Ball gets popped up slightly high and she gets a nice juicy forehand and smacks our opponent, the lady, right in the forehead.
Wait, like, are these 19 plus or are these like, there's not older.
It was 19 plus, right? It was 19 plus. Okay. But like, I would say this lady was like in her 40s.
Okay.
Right? She was playing with Dave Velardo. You remember Proposal Dave? Yeah. Right? Smacks this lady right in the forehead.
Oh.
And like after that, I was like, I think this match is done.
What did Anna Lee, did she say like, sorry? Like how she's only 11.
We both were like, oh, sorry. Oh, you know, but gosh. Like this lady took a bullet to the forehead from Anna Lee Waters. That doesn't feel good. I'll tell you that much.
What? That is so crazy to think about that.
Yeah. After that, I think we like.
No, but to see, you know, see that, to see Anna Lee today,
mm-hmm.
triple crown era.
Yeah.
Best woman in the game.
Yeah, it's something I brag about personally.
Yeah, I would too.
Like, oh yeah, you guys know that number one pickleball player in the world right now?
Yeah, you guys are basically undefeated.
So oh, we're still undefeated till this day. I've played with her over the last couple of years, just some wreck, and we beat everybody still.
Yeah.
I tell her like, hey, like I know like Ben's pretty good, but like, you know, if he ever says the wrong thing, like I'm still here.
That's funny. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Did Anna Lee have a two-handed backhand back then?
Heck yeah.
Oh, so she did.
Yeah. She actually, okay. I remember her like when we were just like warming up for a gold medal match, she was telling me, she was super small. She was like, how do you get so much power on your backhand with one hand? And I was just like, I don't know, you know, but like for her, like her two-hander was how she provided, you know, some of the power and the oomph that she didn't have then. But
gosh, I wonder if I have some of those matches somewhere.
I don't know, man. I don't know if you do.
Yeah, no one recorded them.
No, huh? Maybe my dad has some points, but I'm sure like if I were to look back at it now, I'd be like, oh my God, this is so cringy.
We got to go in the archives.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
Okay, so Anna Lee. So back to the Triple Crown era. She's been dominant. She's going to stay dominant.
Yeah.
How long do you think this could realistically keep going?
I think it depends on pickleball, man. I think if the women's scene really picks up the way the men's scene has, I think she could find some competition. Yeah. You know, and I'm not saying Catherine and Leia aren't competition, but she is very clearly, you know, on top of the chart when it comes to the food chain.
Results-wise,
yeah,
it's stats don't lie.
Yeah.
Right now.
Right. So. I mean, she is clearly the number one pickleball player in the world. I mean, she is dominant.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a five-tool player, man. She's got everything.
Yeah, and it's interesting, even in other sports too. I know this sport of pickleball is still growing, things like that, but you will see teenagers come out and do really well, get on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about a 15-year-old that's at the top of the women's side, pickleball.
Yeah.
And she's dominant in that way. So I think honestly, what impresses me about her just in general, she has all the shots, all the things like that, is just mentality, mental-wise. I mean, if she's in these close matches, she pulls them all out.
Yep.
It's like, okay, honestly, skill-wise, yep, she's separated from everyone. But honestly, that mental fortitude or whatever you can call it is just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could also be a lot of pressure too. I mean, being that young and, you know, still learning a lot about just everything that goes on in life and sports and stuff like that. Like, I think being the number one player, like one thing that I hear a lot is like, you know, being a lower seed is nice because there's no expectations.
Yeah.
And it's true. Like you don't go out there thinking like, oh, I should win this match.
Yep.
You know, and I think as soon as you start to have those expectations of like, okay, I should win this match, that's when things start to go crazy.
Of course, but that's the crazy thing.
Right.
She's there and she keeps winning.
Yeah, right.
So that's what sets her apart.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about Ben.
Yeah.
The other side, men's, that is the Triple Crown King, and we got the Triple Crown Queen. But yeah, Ben Johns, obviously he's been at the top of the game for a long time. There was a point where he didn't lose a singles match in like 3 years. I think that was a while ago. And then he's lost, you know, here and there, but he's still at the top. Right. What do you see on the men's side, and how long can he wear three crowns at once?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, you know, a year, 2 years where he can kind of consistently win everything. You know, but that being said, I mean, in the last year, it hasn't been every tournament that he's gotten a triple crown. You know, there have been a few times where he did get upset.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I mean, I want to say it was like 176 matches that he won straight,
yeah,
which was like over a year and a half time span.
You know what? I need to look at Annalie's numbers. I wonder how many straight she's won. Because I want his proud.
Well, she's won everything since San Clemente. And even before that, she won everything before that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see her winning streak. But so Ben has gotten beat in singles here and there. He's gotten beat, obviously, Matt and Riley are the only ones that beat them.
Yeah, they beat him, what, three times last year?
Yeah, three or four.
Yeah.
Out of, like, a good amount.
Right.
And then, but, you know, mixed, he still hasn't lost with Annalie.
Right.
With Annalie. So the mix is going to be tough.
Yeah.
Now, out of men's doubles and singles, I don't know. I think that there are going to be we're seeing it already, like Federico. I think somebody could come out and give Ben trouble.
Yeah.
Like serious trouble if some of these top tennis players come in. Doubles just takes longer. It just takes longer, even to beat Matt Riley. Matt and Riley is just going to be so tough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even when you look at the brackets for mixed and men's and women's, like, I feel like personally, like, last year you could go to a PPA and win your first two matches pretty easily.
Yeah.
Your first round matchup is now against a top 10 seed.
Of course. Well, there's qualifiers. You know what I mean? Now. It's crazy.
Right, well, it's super different, right? But I mean, like, you look at singles, right? And like, every time I play singles, I honestly question it a little bit more each time. I question it a little bit more. I'm like,
Should I do this? Oh, speaking of that, actually, this is one thing I wanted to get into. This is why this segment is, I labeled it the Triple Crown era.
Yeah.
The era of the Triple Crown, because I think in the future, just like tennis is, and I know a lot of people out there are going to be like, oh, I don't want to make the sport like tennis.
True.
But just the fact of specializing in a certain event.
Yeah.
In the future, I think it's inevitable to see singles players.
Yep.
And then just doubles players.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't play at all.
No, for sure. I mean, I have gotten away with playing singles because I'm young and I'm athletic and I pick up things pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But like that being said, I think personally, I mean, I told my boss at Legacy that like this year I really needed to focus on tournaments because you know what? I genuinely think by next year, singles is going to be almost impossible unless you played a very high level of tennis.
Yeah, it's getting tougher.
You know, like guys, especially with paddle technology.
Unless you're Dylan Frazier.
Right. I mean, you know, unless you're Dylan Frazier, you're just kind of goated, honestly. I don't know how Dylan Frazier makes it work, but he is crazy deceptive in singles. I mean, you think he's going this way and he goes the other. I mean, and there is no tennis background at all.
Yeah.
You know, but like, hey, he does what works for him, you know, and I think that's super cool. So, I mean, obviously, I'm going to try and do that too. I mean, the list of pro players that don't or didn't play tennis in their past
is, you know, very life is short.
It's a, I could put them on my hand.
Yeah. So
I count them on my hand.
Yeah. We talked about this in the pro scene right now. You'd be there.
Myself.
Rob Cassidy.
AJ Kohler.
Callan Dawson.
Dylan Frazier. That's one hand, Jordan.
Yeah.
That's one.
And you know what? If we're excluding you, we may be leaving a few out, but really the list is very short.
Yeah. It could be just two hands.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, it's a tennis player's game, you know, but it's up to that little short list of, you know, non-tennis players to show up and show out.
Now, if you're not a tennis player, don't let this disappoint you.
Yeah.
Because you, with the right training, you can definitely, if you're athletic and you're dedicated to the game,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we have seen, we just mentioned those players that don't have, you know, big backgrounds. Oh, Frank Anthony Davis. Shout out to Frank.
Oh, that, yeah.
That's another one.
Yeah.
So, single specialist, but still. Yeah, Frank, love to have you on the pod soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's not a lot, but you know, especially in doubles.
Yeah, right.
You know, so singles, I think without a tennis background, is going to be tough.
It is.
It's very
tough. I'm telling you right now, it's hard.
Yeah, but doubles, you know, there's a lot of nuances. If you have good hands,
yeah,
and you can place the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, two things, great hands, place the ball.
Yep.
You can do very, very well for yourself.
No, you shouldn't be discouraged if you're not a tennis player, you know, especially in doubles. Like, I feel like personally, my stronger game is doubles, and that's because I'm fairly athletic. I have good hand-eye coordination, right? And I have decent hands,
right?
So based off of those right there, like, I prefer doubles because it's just fast paced. Go, 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 go.
Decent hands, as in the pro level, decent hands.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. I mean, I have good hands. Obviously, always trying to improve my hand speed.
Yeah.
But that being said, like, just because you didn't play tennis doesn't mean you don't have a shot at playing professional pickleball.
Yeah.
Right. But like, if you're saying, oh, yeah, I played golf and then I'm going to go and give pro singles a try, I would say, save your $150 because
or get a sponsor.
Yeah, get a sponsor because you know what? One thing that's not talked enough about is how expensive these PPA and APP tournaments are. You know,
yeah.
So you know, if you don't have that tennis background and you're like, oh man, yeah, singles is my jam. I'm going for it, and I ask you what sport you played, you know, previously, and you say boxing. I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say, bad idea.
Yeah.
It's not a great idea. Let's maybe not do that.
So singles is a little bit tougher, but yeah, still can be done. You can still improve in all parts of the game. Yeah, but I think that wraps it up. Any last thoughts, Caden, or anything that you want to mention?
Well, you know, we're hosting at Legacy, the PPA coming up. Not this weekend. This weekend is Super Bowl weekend.
Super Bowl. And I know this is a pickleball podcast. Let's just quickly, what's your pick?
I hope they both lose.
Okay. Yep. So not going to happen. But
no Niners.
Okay. All right. So Legacy?
Legacy. Yep. So not this weekend, but the next weekend after that. Legacy's hosting the PPA, Carvana.
Carvana.
It's going to be an awesome event. Whether you are an amateur or a pro, you will be playing on a dedicated court with a dedicated net and dedicated lines and your own fence, so there will be no ball-ons.
41 courts at Belbank Park.
Boom.
Be there, be square.
Yep.
Not to throw shade on JW Marriott, but nope. We are throwing shade at JW Marriott.
It's possible. And, you know, and guys, parking is $5, and you pay for it online, and you're done.
There you go. Just, you know, save a coffee. Don't go to Starbucks one day and you got your parking covered.
That's right.
All right. So with that, Caden, thank you so much for being on the pod again. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe. And yeah, throw your questions in the chat, in the comments of certain segments, maybe segment ideas, because we will be evolving and adjusting. This podcast, we are here to teach you more about pickleball, bring you awareness of all the things that's happening in the game. So yeah, or maybe drop some comments of who'd you like to see on, who you would like to see us interview,
yeah,
on the pro scene, or it could be anyone that you think that would be very valuable.
Yeah, I also would like to start a segment where I take really bad pictures of pros with me. I actually have one of JW. Well, I'll definitely have to show it in the next one if you guys want it.
Okay. I mean, so Caden's on the pro scene all the time. He's playing at all the pro events. Give us some comments. Give us some thoughts on what Caden can do. That would probably be really funny, or some really good stuff. And we'll put it in the pod. And until next time, thanks so much, and we'll see you in the next episode.
See you guys soon.